Andy Dunn's journey through entrepreneurship while battling bipolar disorder reads like two parallel stories constantly colliding. Unlike typical business memoirs celebrating triumph through grit, Burn Rate offers something far more vulnerable, the raw chronicle of building a $300 million company while wrestling with undiagnosed mental illness. What makes this story so compelling is how the very traits that drove Dunn's entrepreneurial success, boundless energy, creativity, risk-taking, were often indistinguishable from his bipolar symptoms. Imagine building a business empire while your mind oscillates between divine inspiration and crushing darkness. For the estimated 20% of entrepreneurs with some form of mental illness, Dunn's story breaks a deafening silence. His willingness to expose the unvarnished truth challenges Silicon Valley's preference for sanitized success stories. Ever wonder why we celebrate thinking differently in business while stigmatizing actual mental illness? This paradox sits at the heart of Dunn's powerful narrative. Growing up near Chicago with an Indian mother and American father, Andy's family avoided discussing his grandmother's mental illness, a pattern that would later mirror his own situation. His first episode occurred during sophomore year at Northwestern. After taking psychedelic mushrooms, he experienced mania, grandiose thoughts, and delusions. He became convinced he was the Messiah, connecting his initials AD with the year 2000 AD. After riding Chicago's L train all night and claiming he could communicate with birds, concerned friends alerted his parents. Diagnosed with bipolar disorder type 1 in the psychiatric ward, his family sought alternative explanations, like Accutane or mushrooms, latching on to the possibility of a one-off episode. At home, bipolar became taboo. This denial persisted for 16 years, with Andy interpreting each stable day as proof his episode was an anomaly. His diagnosis became his ghost, unseen but omnipresent, haunting him while he refused to acknowledge its existence. At Stanford Business School, Andy's roommate Brian Spally began crafting better-fitting men's pants, selling them to friends for $100 each from Trader Joe's bags. During one pants party at their house, they sold $10,000 worth of merchandise in a day. They named the venture Bonobos, after what Spally called peace-loving monkeys that like to have sex. Their key insight was that customers valued both the pants' fit and freedom from traditional retail shopping. When Spally took another position after graduation, Andy became CEO. Joel Peterson invested $100,000, comparing their venture to JetBlue and its industry-disrupting potential. For Andy, entrepreneurship provided both creative outlet and escape from his undiagnosed condition. Startup life's intensity masked his mood swings, as extreme behaviors could be interpreted as entrepreneurial passion. As Bonobos grew, so did the unrecognized oscillations of his condition, creating a pattern of soaring highs and crushing lows. Andy masked his struggles through workaholism and alcoholism. His depression manifested in Friday night cereal dinners followed by quick naps that became A-long sleep sessions, though he refused to acknowledge these as symptoms of his condition. Bonobos faced financial challenges with slow growth and limited funding. Andy's deteriorating relationship with Spally culminated in asking him to step down. After Spally's departure, Andy's mood soared, typical of bipolar patterns, leading him to dismiss his mental health issues as mere partnership problems. By fall 2009, Andy's days started with hangovers and multiple coffees, ending with evening cocktails. In his hypomanic state, he constantly stayed busy to avoid confronting his depression. During this period, Bonobos expanded from pants to a full menswear brand. Their innovative guide shops concept emerged organically when they discovered customers preferred trying clothes in person while having purchases shipped home. After securing Nordstrom's investment in their $16 million Series B at a $100 million valuation, the company expanded rapidly. Andy's personal life reflected this manic energy. He dated younger, traveled lavishly, and after the Series A, sold $1 million in stock to buy his parents a home and make risky angel investments. he impulsively bought a Porsche 911. The company aggressively expanded guide shops while pursuing multiple in-house brands and building technology for a brand ecosystem. Payroll grew dramatically without corresponding revenue. This exemplified hypomania in entrepreneurship, where heightened creativity and risk-taking drive innovation but can lead to reckless decisions. Andy's undiagnosed condition meant his greatest strengths were also symptoms. Following failed relationships and questionable business choices, Andy fell into depression. A new relationship with Manuela, a Harvard-educated Brazilian Jewish woman, offered hope, but due to his unmedicated bipolar disorder, triggered his first full manic episode since college during a Vegas trip. On a red-eye flight to Vegas, Andy experienced his first manic episode, convinced the plane would crash. His behavior became erratic, giving away possessions and making impulsive decisions. Though internally chaotic, he managed to deliver his scheduled speech before having grandiose delusions about solving world conflicts and becoming president. After stepping down as CEO to focus on his personal life in Beijing with Manuela, Andy fell into severe depression. The revelation came that bonobos hadn't caused his depression. Rather, the company's structure had been masking it. Upon returning as CEO, he steered the company to $100 million in revenue and its first profitable months in years. His mental state deteriorated into full mania. After howling at the moon one night, Manuela called her mother for help. In his delusional state, he injured himself by hitting a doorway and punching through a window. The episode culminated in him striking Manuela before his memory went blank, his mind protecting him from the traumatic events. Andy awakened at Bellevue Hospital's psychiatric ward in full psychosis, lying naked, drinking urine, and drawing with crayons. His delusions included believing Manhattan was underwater and that he was becoming a cyborg messiah. As medications took effect, reality slowly returned. When Manuela visited, he noticed her black eye and asked if he'd hit her. Her gentle response, "It didn't hurt," changed everything. NYPD officers arrested him for assaulting both Manuela and her mother. Despite his fragile state, he returned to work immediately, desperate for normalcy. He disclosed his bipolar diagnosis to executives and the board. Board member Joel Peterson's response was supportive. "I know entrepreneurs who've dealt with this. It's entirely manageable. I have full confidence in you as our CEO." Unable to contact Manuela due to legal restrictions, they finally reunited after his court hearing granted dismissal. Her mother, Leni's response was gracious. "Andy, it's just like diabetes. As long as you take your medication and see your doctor frequently, we're good." Their acceptance offered him redemption, a stigma-free approach to mental illness. Andy became vigilant about his mental health. Lamictal provided the perfect balance, stabilizing his moods while preserving his entrepreneurial drive. His wedding day brought unprecedented peace, having overcome his fear of being unmarriageable. When his son Isaiah was born 3 years later, Andy remained stable, making a solemn promise to never let his guard down.